Good morning. It ain't snowing. Start off with, it's good to be a Christian. I'm thankful for each and every one of you made your way out. Welcome to those that are in the cars, maybe in their homes, wherever you may be. And what a great lesson we had this morning. And the purpose of why we gather here today is to be encouraged. Do you agree? We come here to worship, and it's to be encouraged by Jesus Christ. It's to be encouraged by what He done. It's to be encouraged in this life that has its ups and downs. One day things look great, and the next day things don't look so great. Backstabbing goes on all around this world, and we cannot get caught up in that. We got to keep our eyes maintained on Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about our belief and our unbelief here today. Well, Jamie, why do you say unbelief? All these people are at church. Surely they believe. But we'll see some examples here shortly where our unbelief can get in the way of our belief. So, a couple sermons we've had here recently. One was about controlling your environment that you're in your Christian life. You know, we turn the thermostat up when we're cold. We turn it down when we're hot. Is that right? Whatever. You get the gist. So we adjust. If it's raining, we come inside. But I'm talking about the environment of our Christian life, our belief system. Are we in control of that? What helps us, in when I'm talking about the thermostat or whatever, we're looking for what makes us comfortable. So in our Christian life, I'm not saying that per se as comfortable, but to be in the best place we can be as Christians. And the best place that we can be is at the foot of the cross. The best place we can be is in tune with the Word of God. The best place that we can be is to be paying attention to the Holy Spirit. And deep in the Word, His Word. There's many things out there that brings us physical comfort. But there's a lot of things that distract us from the spiritual place we need to be. So just think on those things for a minute. Dave preached last Sunday morning on what is Jesus worth. Now we know He's worth everything. He went to the cross. You can ask most people in the world that has any inkling of who Jesus is. They know he's some guy back in the day that hung on a cross and shed His blood. You know, they'll know the basic stuff. But what my point about is what is He worth to you in your Christian life? You believe in Him. Everybody here believes in Jesus Christ. I could probably make that full assurance, whether you go to church regular or not, whether whether you pray every day, whatever, whether you're saved or not saved even. But you're here because you believe something. So, let's talk about our belief. Does our unbelief, ask yourself this, at any times, does our unbelief get in the way of our belief? And I'm going to be coming out of Mark chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 29. And after we get through there, most of you will be familiar with this scenario, but it's going to talk about belief and unbelief. And then you'll get the point of what this sermon is all about. All right, if y'all would stand for the reading of God's Word, because He is worth that. He is worth the gratitude we can show in honor of His Word. And if you're not able, He understands that. Mark 9, verses 14 through 29. And when He came to His disciples,
referring to Jesus, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." And I wrote a note. I looked that up in the Strong's, that dumb spirit. And it's al-os, and it literally means speechless or mute. "And whatsoever he taketh him, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples, and they should not cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Quote, Jesus said unto him, quote, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? Then he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Let us pray. Lord God, we're praying right now, Lord God. We're seeking you. We're bowing here before you. You gave us this opportunity when your son died on the cross and shed his blood that we can come directly to you right now. So we're going to talk about the belief in you today and how it measures, Lord. Ask for you to guide our hearts and stir within us. I pray, Lord, right now for our pastor this morning, Lord, I pray for your healing hand upon his body. I pray for Miss Tink, if she is sick as well. And all those out of our congregation that are sick this morning, I pray that you'll just touch them as only you can. And I ask, Lord, that you get me out of the way. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all, and be seated. So the focus on that text right there is mainly on verses 23 and 24, but to elaborate a little bit on the dumb spirit, we think of somebody that can't talk and that is mute or whatever, and also referred to the deaf spirit. But we can see there's more to the physical, more than just the physical hurt against that young man, that he couldn't speak nor hear. But you could see when he was being tormented by that spirit within, he would wallow on the ground. So we're going to see that it is a physical healing as well as a spiritual healing. Now, I could go around the community or locally even, and talk to folks about that would believe in physical healing, but they don't want nothing to do with that spiritual stuff. It scares them. Okay? It scares them. I remember thinking, oh, that's just lotty-dotty. But man, that's in the Word of God. We've got to believe that. So as we get on down there, we see that Jesus healed the young man fully and completely. But the key part
that really stands out and should get us today is, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe." Now, I bet every one of you right now, if you was in a situation right now, you would say, "I believe." So why would that man say, and he just witnessed what's going on. He's in the presence of Jesus himself. Why would he say, "Help my unbelief"? So let's just think about what belief is. And I looked up a lot of stuff in the Strong's. In the word believe is pistio, and it's in the Greek, and it means, now listen closely here. Listen very closely, because believe can be used very loosely, right? Very loosely. To believe, but also to be persuaded of, and hence to place confidence in, to trust, and signifies in the sense of the word reliance upon. Now, there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't rely on at all. How's your belief today? Is your unbelief getting in the way? Is it hampering your belief? Not mere credence, hence it is translated committed unto. Now there's a big difference between believing in something and be committed to something. Our unbelief is what gets in our way. Our unbelief is what questions things that God done, things that God does, and things that God will do. And we all still have some unbelief in us because of the sin nature that we have. You ever try to solve a problem before praying? Huh? There you go. Good example right there. It says, to be committed to commit one's trust. And if you'll remember, and I do remember when I learned about the word believe. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Well, I've had many people say, "Well, I believe, so I'm okay." Well, at that time, I didn't have a response to that. Why? Because I didn't fully know what the word believe meant. I took it at face value and what I thought it was instead of what the word of God says it is. So how important is belief? It's more than just showing your taking up a pew seat once in a while. It's more than just wearing a necklace around your neck. How many of you have talked to people, say, "You know, Jesus, yeah, I got the shirt"? Committed to being a Christian is more than what you have on. The more than the facade that the world sees. Do you agree with me today? Do you believe that, well, just use the example of the two prayers going on, the Pharisee and had all them phylacteries or whatever that is on his head, and he's looking good, he's talking good. Thank you, God, that I'm not like them other people. I'm pretty good because I do everything right. He's committed to himself. And then the humble tax collector, he bows his head because he didn't feel worthy to raise up to pray to God. He's a believer in God because he showed it from the inside out. The other guy was showing it from the outside in. And we know that don't work. We know that don't work. Yeah, I'm going to be a Christian one of these days. I want to do this. I want to drink all I can drink, chase all the women I can chase, and live like the devil for as long as I can. Then I'm going to get saved. Don't work that way. Don't work that way. Tried it. So, have you got the gist of that part so far? How is your belief? And to recognize your unbelief. Because you don't want to say, "Well, I have no unbelief. Well, you do. We do. Our sinful nature rejects God. Our sinful nature rejects what Jesus done. I remember a song that Jason talked about when he was teaching the teen class. How could it be? How could it be? Do you ever question grace? Do you ever question that? It's like, how could he love me that much? How could he give his only begotten son? He gave the very best he had because that's what was required. We question that, don't we, sometimes in our physical minds? Because, why? Because we're limited, because we don't comprehend, and that's our unbelief. We got to realize the definition, the real definition of unbelief. It's not being committed to something. It's me and Pastor Jason working on his car and beating and bending and hammering and stopped and had a prayer meeting, and we should have had the prayer meeting first, right? Where was our commitment? Our commitment was we could get under there and do that because we're two grown men. Maybe not the sharpest tools in the shed, but we were two grown men and we can do this. Prayer meeting changed things. We changed our commitment from us to him. And you ever do that in your daily life? You're looking for something. I can't find it, can't find it, can't find it. Look, 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 look. I can do that if I can just do, 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 do. And finally, you just at your wit's end and you stop and say, Lord, show me that. Now you start out saying, Lord, help me. But then it's like, get me uninvolved. Lord, show me that. There it is. Ever happened to you? Yeah, it has. It has. That's our belief. And we had to get past our unbelief first. Do you think those little things are important to God? That's important to you? Amen. That's right. We all should say amen. If you trust this word for what it says, if you put your hope, your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ, we'll get past our unbelief. So that's what that guy wanted, was for God, for Jesus to help his unbelief. Have you ever had that prayer before? That should be a prayer we have every day. I've asked him a lot about the change my thought process and how we respond to things. So moving on. We've got believe. In whom do we believe? We believe in God. We believe he's the creator. We're talking about our faith now. We're going to go believe, then faith, and that in the Strong's is pistis, and it is to God as creator, provider of salvation. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you trust as we go on? Do you have faith in what he has done? So, how many of you have seen in the Bible where Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins? Everybody, do you believe that fully and completely? Do you believe that he was planted in the ground and in a tomb, and the stone was set with a seal, and that 3 days later he arose again and was seen by 500 and many others and many others? Do you believe that fully and completely? Is there any doubt in your mind? If there is the slightest hair of a doubt, which our physical bodies want you to reject, that is unbelief. Does that get in the way of your belief in the facts of Jesus' perfect birth, his perfect life, his perfect death, and his perfect resurrection? To be on the right hand of the Father. I was sharing this with a little feller at soccer yesterday, Charlie's cousin. He had a hat on that said, Jesus saves, bro. Yeah, that's a big word now. I guess that bro stuff. But I said, he's probably what, six? He's seven? He is six. Charlie's seven. He's six. I said, oh, hey, buddy, I like your hat. I said, what's it say? He says, I don't know. I said, well, let's talk about that a minute. And I said, what's that first word? I don't know. I said, Jesus. You know who Jesus is? Well, yeah. I said, well, who is Jesus? I don't know. So we talk about him on the cross and died for our sins that we didn't have to go to hell. I said, what's the next word? I'll not even go through that again. Saved. I said, what? I said, he saves us from going to hell. Now, oh, you don't talk like that to little kids? Yes, you do. You better. Because their unbelief is already instilled in them that nobody's going to hell because everybody, God loves everybody and all dogs go to heaven. Right? Right? The kids have got to know they're guilty and their destination is hell without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Do we agree on that today? So there's that unbelief in hell that gets in the way. And God is a God of love. And he has righteous wrath. Okay? And I didn't make that up. It's in there. Right? That's how we overcome the unbelief in our life. By putting our faith in what he's done. And when I was putting that out, you know, talk to the people of the world, and they say, well, I don't believe none of that. If I could see what he done, I say, how did that tree get there without a seed? Or how did that seed get there without a tree? Do you believe God created everything? I do. I do. And that's unbelief when we question that. Well, it just happened. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Scientists have proved it didn't, but they still deny it because of that sinful nature of unbelief that is instilled in all of us. Let's talk about how to grow our faith. And these were just a couple of quick things. How to grow our faith. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. How to grow our faith. Now you might think I'm going to give you this big long thing that's like how to do brain surgery, that it's so difficult, how our faith is to grow. But God puts it pretty simple in his word. Come unto me, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know who that includes? Every one of us. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you, and do what? Learn of me. So how can we grow our faith in Jesus? We need to know all there is to know about him. And did he hide anything from us? No, it's very clear right here in his word that we can learn. He's not hiding anything. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And that, I got a note written out from that word easy. It fits. That yoke that Jesus has for you with him is made for you. One size don't fit all. One side fits you. That's how we can grow our faith. Romans 12, 1 through 3. You've heard this many times. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect
will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's talking about your personal relationship when he says, every man the measure of faith. That is every created human being. It is a personal thing. He knows you personally. Now, isn't that hard to comprehend? There's a little bit of unbelief there. Yeah, I remember thinking, he don't know who I am. I'm nothing compared to giants of the saints of the scriptures. I'm nothing compared to others in this world. But to God, I'm everything. You're everything. There again, that's where our unbelief can get in the way of our belief. Renewing our minds. How do we renew our minds? And anything available. We could go out and study Scientology, and that would renew our minds with foolishness, as we know. So if you want your belief to grow, and you want your faith to grow, what do we do? What do we do? Go to the bar? Huh? No. What was that, Miss Alita? Miss Patty? Yeah, listen to these icons of God right here. They're mature, okay? They've had experience, and they seek the Word of God. So young people, listen, I mean young people from Happy Face right there all the way up to any young adults or new Christians, right now, the Word of God is your source to renew your mind. YouTube is not, unless it's got some Christian preaching, because I listen to Christian preaching on there. But there's a lot of stuff that will not renew your mind as the Scripture asks us to do. Fill your mind with the Scriptures. Be choosy about what radio stations you listen to. Be choosy about what TV shows you watch. Be choosy about what literature you might read. And that's how we can grow our faith, is by staying grounded in the Word of God. The Word of God. This is the only thing in our life's opportunity that is not vulnerable to failure, that is not vulnerable to misleading. It's not vulnerable to anything. It is God's Word, and it has stood strong since the day He inspired it. Said the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It is Jesus Christ. He was with God in the beginning. That's what we need to do to strengthen our faith. Let's talk about trust. I'm about done, y'all. Trust in the Greek is pitho, and it's to rely by inward certainty. Now think about that trust. You know, we've seen that example of, I'm going to fall over, you catch me. Well, you know. And that's fallible. I mean, you can have everything, but if everything is not just perfect, they may not catch you. It's like Jason was talking about the tilt of the earth, 23.5% or degrees. And it has to be that. If it's one, the other way will burn up. If it's the other way, will freeze. Right? It's perfect. It's got to be perfect. So that's the Word of God. Do you trust in the Word of God to help your unbelief? To have trust in what He's going to do. Now, the Scriptures is full of what God says He's going to do. Believing is the beginning of a relationship with God. Faith is what you have when you put your trust in what He's done.
done that, right? Trust is what he's going to do. Knowing, having confidence, believing in what he's going to do. Do you believe in the lesson that we had this morning, which coincides a lot with some of the scriptures I have right here, right now, about the end times and about the I'm not going to go into the tribulation, rapture, and all that, but the final resting place. Do you believe in that? And there again, it's right back to that song Jason you was talking about. How could that be? How can that be? But I trust that fully and completely. How do we depend? How do we have confidence in God's word? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear. And yet, sometimes we still do. That's where our unbelief gets in the way. But it says, "But in God, which raises the dead." In a physical world, we say, how does the dead get raised? If we're dead, how does the dead raise the dead? But we know who the resurrection is, don't we? Verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death and dost deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Do you believe that right now, that he's going to deliver us as Christians, as he's going to deliver us one day? I do. I mean, I do with all I ever had in my heart. I always thought I did, but I didn't. And in my spiritual growth, it's helped my belief get a little bit above that unbelief that's in there. And as we keep renewing our minds with the Word of God and the perfect example and depending on the perfect death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can believe and grow our faith and not trust in ourselves. That's a source of unbelief. Now, in closing right now, I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures right here. John 14:1. And we love this right here. This is a promise. This is something that we can trust in. This is something, as I said earlier, we have hope. Do you have hope today? Hope beyond our unbelief. Hope above what you see on the TV and in the news that's going on in the world, or whatever affects you, whatever stirs up your unbelief. We got to look above that. This gives me the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe that fully and completely. I pray that you do too. It says, John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." 14:2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, does unbelief really rear up and say, how could that be? But in renewing of our mind, studying the Word, I'm standing on that promise right there. My hope is built on that promise right there. Right there. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And my heart gets troubled now and again for things that's going on in this world, for things that's going on round about in my personal life, for whatever it might be. But Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's powerful stuff right there, folks. That's powerful. That's where our belief system needs to be. We need to put our trust in that right there and that alone. That is the hope that keeps us going. That is the hope that can bury that unbelief. And there again, how could it be? "In my Father's house are many mansions." Man, Do you think about that? Do you ever just sit and meditate on that? I know we can't imagine that. But we can keep trying. Our unbelief is what will keep us saying, nah, it can't be. God's word says, yeah, it can be. I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you believe he's sitting on the right hand of the Father today? I do. And what's he doing as he's sitting there on the right hand of the Father? Making intercessions for each one of us. There again, that yoke is not one size fits all. That yoke is a personal thing. And he's making intercession for you. One or two more verses. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. Now, how can that be? How many times have we asked ourselves that through life? With maybe the death of a young son at a time that it's not supposed to be that way. How can that be good? Yet God's word says that. So our belief has got to overcome that unbelief that makes us ask those questions. Do you fully trust in him right now? 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Man, and Rodney's had a bunch of them, but I actually had a gallbladder attack one time that hurt almost as bad as a kidney stone. And I remember laying there, it hurt so bad, I'm by myself at home, Debbie was working or whatever, and throwing up, and it's like, God, you know, make this go away, make it quit. But that lasted for a couple hours, and in my mind it was like, oh, it's never going to stop. Oh, God, you're not going to help me. But, you know, that was probably 30 years ago, and it passed. My afflictions are light. I was caught up in that moment. My unbelief was rearing its ugly head in that moment. But it has strengthened my belief today. And we can go on from this point right here, right now. Whatever's disturbing you right now falls in the category of unbelief. Let's raise her up, raise our eyes up, look beyond, for knowing that what we're experiencing now pales in comparison to the glorious things that God has for us. And in closing, Revelation 21:4. I've heard this, I've preached it many times, and it's where our hope is built. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, where the former things shall be passed away. Do you believe that right now? Can your belief overcome the unbelief that is possible? Because with God, all things are possible. I hope this stirred your hearts today. And again, like we talked about, all the sermons on that you hear, chew on them all day long. Think about them. Like I said one day, tell somebody Jesus loves. Is he worth that to you? Just to say the words. You know Jesus loves you. 99.9% of the time, you'll get good responses. And one of the best ones is when they say, and he loves you too. That's pretty awesome right there. Okay, Julie, if you guys want to get us a song, and if you're having an issue with your belief system right now, let's talk about it. Come. And what did Jesus say to the disciples that couldn't heal that young boy that was possessed, couldn't heal his deafness, his muteness, and all that was going on? Prayer and fasting. It's not an embarrassment as bad as Satan will want you to believe, that it's embarrassing to come to the altar. If that embarrasses you, you're caught up in your unbelief. Believe on the name of Jesus. Believe that he can save your soul. And believe that he is worth it. If he is stirring your heart this morning in any shape or form, I'm sorry I'm going long, but we're about done. But if there's anything tickling in your heart right now, I pray that it's the Holy Spirit and that you will respond. Let's stand and sing.